So let's review. Zok the Mishnah, Nafal Abayis Alav Al Aviv Ayilav Val Mayrishav, V'Hayislav Ksubas Isha Ubal Chayv. If a house fell upon a person and his father, or upon the person and a relative from whom he is in line to inherit, and they both died, and the son owned money for a ksuba or for a debt. It depends. If the son died first, he does not inherit his father's estate, and there is no money from which to collect his debts, assuming he has no other assets. If the father died first, the son does inherit his father's estate, and there is money from which to collect his debts. Now, Yosha'ab Aymrim Haben Mesrishan, Rachkech Mesa'av. The heirs of the father claim that the son died first, and therefore they inherit the estate of the father. While his wife and creditors claim that the father died first, and therefore the son inherited from him, and they can now collect from the son's estate. There's a machlekes. We divide the assets between the two sides, the Yerusha'av and the Balechayv. While the Basilas say, Nechasim b'chaskasim, all the assets are given to the Yerusha'av, but not to the Balechayv. And the Rashbam explains the machlekes as follows. In this situation, we ought to apply the well-known concept of Ein Safek Mitzvah Devadai. The entire estate is considered in the possession of the Yerusha'av because they have a Tainas Vadai, a certain claim since they are eligible to inherit from both the father and son. While the Balei Chayv have only a Tainas Safek, an uncertain claim since they can only collect from the son but not from the father, and the Safek cannot extract from a Vadai. However, even so, the Bishamei rule, Yachleiku, we divide the estate between the two sides because they hold Shtar Ha'imid Ligvis Kegovudami. A shtar to collect money is as if the money is already collected and in the possession of the one it's owed to. Therefore, the ksuba and shtar chayiv are considered to be vade in the possession of the bali chayiv. And since both the bali chayiv and the yerusha'av are equally considered vade, we say yachleku. While the Bishilas say nechasim b'cheskasim, the entire estate remains with the yerusha'av because they hold shtar o'imet likvis lav kagabadami. A shtar to collect money is not as if the money is already collected and in the possession of the one it's owed to. Therefore, since the Balei Chayv are considered Safik, while the Yerusha'av are considered Vadai, Ein Safik Meitzim De'Vadai, the Yerusha'av, who are Vadai, have a stronger claim, and they inherit the entire estate. The Gemara proceeds with a question regarding a later Mishnah, Daf Kuf Ayin Hei. Tznan Hasam, Hamavis Chaver Bishtar, Gave Menachasim Shabadim. If a person loaned someone money and it was recorded in a shtar, the Malva can collect from the Levis properties that he owned at the time of the loan, even though the properties were later sold to others and are not in the Levis possession at the time of collection. There's no question regarding Kanavale Macher Mishtabid. The Malva can certainly collect the Levis properties that he bought even after the loan and are still in his possession and were not given to others because all the Levis possessions are mortgaged to the debt. The question is merely regarding the Ikni, Kano Umacher, the Ikni Kano Bahirish Mai. If the laver wrote in the shtar that he is subordinating even property that he will buy after the loan, and he did buy property but then sold it or bequeathed it, and they're not in his possession at the time of collection, can the Malva collect from these properties? As the Gemara explains, there is no question according to a mayor who holds Ada Makna Dovish Lebel Oilam, one can make a transaction now to take effect later for something that it cannot take effect now because it is as of yet non-existent, as in the case of a Mecha Peres Dekel Lechaveri, person who sells the fruits that his day treat will produce later. And we certainly say, the Ikni Kano Macher, the Ikni Kano V'Hairish, Mishtabit, the Malva can collect the properties that the Leva bought and sold afterward, because if one can make a Kinyan even for something that was not at all existent, then certainly he can make a Shibud on something that was existent at the time of the loan, but was only not in his possession. The question is only according to the Chacham, who hold Ein Oda Makin Dovish Leva L'Olam. One cannot make a Kinyan now to take effect later for something that it cannot take effect now, because it is as yet non-existent. Perhaps the Ikni Kano Macher Mishtabit. A Shibit can take effect on properties that were bought and sold after the loan because they were already Ba'ilim at the time of the loan. Or the Ikni Kano Macher Loi Mishtabit. A Shibit cannot take effect on properties that were bought and sold after the loan because they were not in the Levis possession at the time of the loan and are therefore considered Loi Ba'ilim. The Gemara attempts several proofs, one from our Mishnah. Nafal Abayis Alav Alaviv, V'Hais Alav Ksubas Isha Balchayv. If a house fell upon the son and his father, and the son owned money for a ksuba or for a debt, Balei HaChayv Oimrim Ha'av Meis Rishon V'Achkech Meis HaBen. If it was confirmed that the father died first, the son inherits him, and they can collect from the now son's estate. The Gemara asks, if we are to assume the Ikni Kano Macher, the Ikni Kano B'Hairish, Loi Mishtabed, a Shibit cannot take effect on assets that were acquired afterward, why does the Malva have a claim to the son's estate? Nehi Nami Da'av Mis Beresha De'iknihu. Even if the father did die first, the son did not own the estate at the time of the loan, but rather he acquired them only after his father died. Apparently, this proves that the ikne kano macher, the ikne kano b'hayrish, mishtabed. The Gemara answers that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps the ikne kano macher, the ikne kano b'hayrish, loy mishtabed. But they can collect because mitzvah lisaimim lefreya chayvus avin. The son's heirs have an obligation to pay up his debts from his estate, even though there is no shibud on the assets that he inherited from his father. However, the Gemara, however, rejects this explanation because the Mishnah refers to even a milva al peh, a verbal loan that was not recorded in the shtar. And Rav Shmuel Damar Tavai, milva peh ina geva loy mina yershin. The leiva's heirs are not obligated to pay up a verbal loan. Therefore, the Gemara explains hamani remeiri da amar adam makna davish leiva loylam. The Mishnah follows Rav Meir's opinion that one can make a kinyan for something that is not existent, and certainly he can make a shibud for potential properties. The Gemara proceeds with the following question. If we are to assume d'ikni kana macher, d'ikni kana b'hayrish mishtabed, a shibud can take effect on properties that were bought and sold after the loan, love of a chaz of a kana mahu, what's the halach of a person borrowed money from two different people at two different times, and he subordinated all his properties to each malva, and then he bought properties and sold them? Which malva has the rights to these properties? Do we say lekama mishtabed? Only the first malva has the rights to these properties because, as the Rashbam explains, sharikasu b'shtar muktim, his shtar was written first. Therefore, his shibud takes effect before the second malva. Or lebasu mishtabed? Only the second malva has the rights to these properties because to le'olam de'ikni litveis atchiyavoyu hanachasim ba'ilam v'chikana hanachasim ha'hadar be'mikama. The shibud only takes effect later when the leiva bought these properties, and at that time the leiva had already assigned all his assets to the second malva and retracted the shibud from the first malva. The Gemara concludes with a third opinion. The properties are divided between both lenders because, as the Rashbam explains, devavas achas nishtab lehem ve'in kedima le'echad mehen. The shibud takes effect for both when the leiva buys these properties and one has no precedence over the other.